Hello.
Hello there. This is James from Don't Perish.
Hi, James. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Who am I speaking to?
It's Robert.
Robert. And Robert, you had agreed with me. You didn't mind us doing this ministry call and audio recording it because I thought it might be edifying for other people to hear. I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but...
I don't care, but nobody really cares what I say. So,
Robert, help me. This is about MennoNet is an online forum. Would you call it an Anabaptist forum?
Yes, for Mennonites and others.
Okay,
it's not only Anabaptist, but it's primarily.
Okay, and I knew about it for years. I think I dabbled a few years ago on it a little bit, but I've stayed away from it for the most part. And I recently have gone to it and started posting a couple times a week. And then just for a while, I knew I was going to post a few times a day. And my goal was never to stay very long. And I'll get into the reasons why. But what is your... Are you just a moderator, or are you the guy that runs the whole thing? What's your position with MennoNet?
Well, I manage it. I'm the administrator for it.
Oh, so you're the main guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, years ago, someone else was running it, and he didn't want to do it anymore, and everyone asked if I would go ahead and take over for him. And since I have a little bit of technical background, I said okay and set it up, and I've just run it since. And so that's kind of my job. But we have a group of moderators that work together.
Yeah.
And kind of help to go through and sort through. I don't read everything that's on there because I can't keep up with it. I've got about a few months ago, I've got a real big...
Hold on. We lost him. I got to call him back. I don't know what happened there. I'm calling him back. The call dropped out.
Yeah, I lost you there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. You dropped out. Let's try that again.
All right. I'm just saying I've run it, but I don't read everything because I've got a real big floater in my right eye that makes it hard for me to read.
Oh.
And so I can't read everything, and that's why the other moderators are there, and they kind of help. Take care of things, and also I don't know and read every thread. I just do some of the ones that I stay focused on. I've been on. We've had this before. This one was Menno Discuss, and then it crashed, and everything was lost. And we started up a new one, and that's when I took over was with MennoNet. And
how long is it?
Run that.
How long has it been up?
Oh, MennoNet's been up probably 8 years.
Oh,
I was with Menno Discuss about 5 years before that.
Okay.
So I've been on these for a long time. So I've discussed about every issue. And I kind of like nowadays, I'm like, okay, I've already discussed that issue, went through it, so everybody else can discuss it. I'm not usually in a lot of the theological discussions.
Yeah.
I'll read them and glance at them, but I don't.
So are you can I ask, are you a Mennonite, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And can I ask, what state are you in?
I'm in Texas right now.
Texas.
Yeah, we joined the Mennonite Church up in Indiana when we moved up there. I was about 30, and we joined a church that was up there. I grew up Methodist, and so I'm not a traditional Mennonite. I didn't grow up with the ethnicity of Mennonites, but I adhere to the theology, and that's one thing I connect to is theology of Anabaptism.
Yeah.
But I'm not an ethnic Mennonite at all.
Okay. And so you had texted me. I mean, I was on there, and there's one particular person on there. I'm not even going to mention his name. There's one particular person on there that really came after me, and then a bunch of them kind of joined in. And I get that. I understand that. I knew it was not a place that I was going to stay long because I just don't think it's conducive for what God's called us to do. But I went there to spread some truth and see if there was any seekers. And I did break one of the rules. I posted personal information, my own, and I didn't even know that that wasn't allowed. I guess I expected not it would be against the rules to post someone else's personal information.
From the information I was told is that you were asking personal information from people. That's what I was told.
Well, yeah, let me explain that. What I was asking for was this one individual who I had dealings with him a few years ago, and it didn't go well. So he would call him, I guess he would say that we're like on an enemy basis. I love him. I care for his soul, but we're on the opposite sides of the theological spectrum. He was saying that that he had a biblical church. And I was saying, I don't know of any fully biblical churches, and I would love to know and be able to test one. Well, he kept saying his is biblical, and I ended up putting up a forum, putting up a post that said, please post your biblical, your fully biblical bodies here so that I can know about them and test them, or to test all things, to test it to the doctrines and see if there's a fully biblical body somewhere. I want to come, I want to see it, I want to know them, I want to serve them, and I will be their best worker. And he said, my church is. Well, he wouldn't even tell us the name of it. And so the questioning that I had for personal information was simply saying, can I have the name of your church? If it's public information, where is it located? And is there phone numbers so I can talk to the leader? Their leaders. It's already all public knowledge. He called me. He finally, we had a 6-minute phone call. That didn't go good either. But he finally called me and he says, well, yeah, it's been a public known church for since 1960 and it's registered with the government. And I'm like, well, then what are we hiding all of the information for? So, you know, that was the personal information I was asking for, was the name of his church so it could be tested. I said, where is it? So I know which one. It's the Church of God. Church of God in Christ Mennonite. I said, there's a bunch of them. How do I know which one it is? Then I said, do the leaders have phone numbers I could call them? That was the personal information I was asking for.
Yeah. All right. Well, I probably will come across or come at that fully biblical church probably from a different position than you. And so that's the challenge, is that how do we define a fully biblical church, because that's through to interpretation.
Well, but before we talk about that, can you tell me, so why did you reach out to me? You emailed me. That's why we're talking. Why did you reach out to me? Because I got banned for like a day, and I said, oh, sorry, I broke the rules. I didn't know that was a rule. They banned me for a day, and then, let me talk about this real quick. So they all get down on me because I expose false teachers. I believe we're supposed to. I also travel and street preach all over America. I also teach online. I have far more street preaching teaching. I have like 5 times as much street preaching teaching disciple making materials than I have exposing. So they all treat it like exposing is all I do. That's an absolute lie. It's like 20% of what I do. But they decided to put up a don'tperish.com exposed link up. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? They're Anabaptists. Jesus says, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek, don't slap them back. They think I'm wrong for testing people and exposing them. And they go and put up a Don't Perish Expose, which I have no problem with it. I'm ready to give an answer for everything I teach. And if I can learn from something and I'm not doing it right, I'm the first one that will repent and get it right. And so I didn't even look at all they were posting. I said, you guys go at it and maybe I'll jump back and look later. I just said, this is what I do. I don't think this is conducive here to go into detail. If somebody wants to talk about anything I teach, they can email me. Well, I got banned for a day or two. And then when I came back, one of your moderators, they took that whole thing down now. They took it all down.
I moved it. Oh. I moved all of the thread.
Yep. Oh, okay. Why did
I
you?
Moved it. Why did I you? Moved it. Well, we call it archive. We archived it and moves it away where only the moderators can see it.
Why did you do that, sir?
Because I didn't feel like things were being handled right, and I felt like that there was a lot of responses and things that were coming out that I didn't feel like that was beneficial to still just leave out there, because I don't feel like that people were handling the situation appropriately.
Okay.
I posted on another spot that, you know, our job is to, you know, use the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, and self-control as we deal with issues. And I don't feel like that was happening. And so that's why I called, because I don't feel like that there, some of the responses that were being put out were done in the spirit of compassion and kindness and gentleness.
Yeah.
And so I moved all of it, because that's the easiest way to keep everyone from fighting, because people get in there and then they start going back and forth. And well, it's like,
this is a good time to say this. I posted when they first put it up, you can go read it. I posted about a big paragraph and I said, I won't be reasoning here in detail on doctrine. I said, this is not the place to do it. It gets too rabbit trailed. Women start jumping in. That's another whole topic we'll go on. It just, you can't focus. If anybody wants to talk to me, they can call me or email me and they know how to reach me. And I put one post in there. And then it acquired 55 different posts. I never even went and looked at it. And I thought, if somebody wants to talk to me, so that was all them going back and forth. I didn't go back and forth with them with anything.
I understand.
I did.
That's why I said, that's why I'm calling you.
But I did.
I felt like that it wasn't handled properly.
Okay, I appreciate that. But what I did do before you moved it, I went and read all 55 of the posts. I thought, hey, maybe I can learn something from these people. I think blind squirrels find a nut once in a while. I think there's a lot of people on there that walk in a lot of heresy. There's some that are closer than others. And I went and read all 55 of their entries. It was supposed to be an exposing of don'tperish.com's theology. I have over 4,000 teachings online. You can go count them if you want. 4,000 articles, audios, videos. I've been doing this for 15 years online. They had one guy said one thing that they think is unbiblical about me. No, I'm going to say they said two things. The one thing he said was unbiblical was he says that a woman could leave her husband, and that's wrong. And I have a whole teaching article on that, and I absolutely stand by that, and we can talk about that. In a certain circumstances, it is biblical. And then,
did you read what I posted in there?
Well, no. No, wait, we'll talk about that in a minute. And then the other guy said, well, he's unloving, and he's got the wrong spirit. But out of all the doctrine they could have gone after. And I thought it was interesting. Half of the posts on there, did you see what they were about?
I scanned through some of them. I can't pull it up right now, but I scanned.
Half of them were about van dwelling. I'm a van dweller. Uh-huh. I'm a van dweller. Yeah. We sold everything we own, and I travel, and we support ourselves. We don't take anyone's money. We preach all over America. And they were saying, one guy said, hey, his van dwelling tip page is awesome. I'm getting a lot of good stuff off it. I just find it strange how they wanted to expose me as a false teacher.
That's one thing I didn't feel like that was handled appropriately, and I'm sure, and I've communicated out in another thread kind of how I feel like that we need to respond to situations like this, and I don't feel like that some of that was handled appropriately. I feel like you may have come on strong in some ways, and it gets people's defenses up, and that's not what we're supposed to do either, because we're supposed to, the fruits of the Spirit, people defensive.
Well, I would disagree. Yeah, I would disagree that coming on strong is always wrong. When you face false doctrine and you face people that are either false teachers or they're defending false doctrine, which is just like defending false teachers. Jesus, Paul, John the Baptist, they did come on strong. And I want to remind you of something. A lot of people, let me see if you know this. Are you a leader or anything in your church or anything like that?
Used to be.
Okay. So you talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and you mentioned Galatians 5. Love them. We should all strive to have those. Actually, those fruits of the Spirit, do you know who those are aimed at?
You tell me.
Well, if you go read Galatians 5, in the early part of Galatians 5, I think it's verse 12, Paul's talking about the Judaizers, which are false teachers, right?
Okay.
And Paul says in verse 12, he says, I wish that they would cut themselves off that are teaching you a false gospel. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the verse in front of me. And do you know, the word is emasculate. Do you know what that means, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't need to respond. I know what it means.
Well, I'll tell you what it means because there's no children here. It means to cut your manhood off. So, Paul.
I do know that, and that's why I said I didn't need to respond.
Okay, so
you've
Paul.
You've recorded, and you're recording all of this.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. That's not cutting your manhood off. I mean, circumcision and all that. So, Paul in verse 12 is telling false teachers to cut their manhood off, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I've never told any man to do that. Paul does it. Then you go down about 10 verses. I think it's what? Galatians 5, 20, 21, 22. Paul says, and the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. Paul takes you from rebuking a false teacher sternly, and he's not kind, he's not loving, and he's not nice about it. He gives them a rebuke or tells them what they should do. The gifts of the Spirit are to the saints that are walking in the truth, that are seeking the kingdom of God, that are holding fast to sound doctrine. And all of those Galatians 5 gifts are great. But here's a question for you. Where else does the Bible tell us about fruits of the Spirit in the New Testament? Hardly anybody knows this. Do you know it?
Where else? You tell me.
Ephesians 5:9. No, mm-hmm. I've been around this ministry for a long time. I've been around the Bible for 40 years, but I've been born again for only 15. But I've been around the Bible a long time. I've never heard anyone preach on the fruits of the Holy Spirit other than Galatians 5. Everybody loves joy, peace, love, long-suffering. Those are great. We got to have those for the true saints. False teachers and people that defend sin get rebukes and get put out. Ephesians 5:9 says, the fruits of the Spirit are goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever quotes that. They don't think truth is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So here's the point. If you have the fruit...
Well, you're making some wide brushes when you say no one, and that's not probably accurate.
Well...
So that's the challenge, is that you have to also look at this and realize that not any one person has all the answers. We have to be in community with one another because we need one another to help find the answers, because we all have blind spots and we all need that balance. And so that's why we're called to be a church and be in community with other people to help us. And so no one person will have all the answers. I can't always live by Galatians 5 either, because no one's perfect. Nobody is going to be able to do all of those things. And I fall short just like everyone else. And I'm sure you've found times in your life that you've fallen short and you could have handled yourself better. And
well,
so that's the challenge. We need all of us to sometimes call us to and challenge us to more better ways.
Not to decide
on someone and whether they are have a good relationship with God. That's not what it's about. It's about encouraging one another for better to grow in the Spirit and to grow in better ways.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that we all fall short, but I think there's a big distinction that needs to be made here. And again, maybe you didn't hear what I said. I said, in my experience, 15 years of striving in ministry, 40 years around the Bible, I've never heard anyone quote, the truth is part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They all run to love. You didn't quote it. They all run to love, patience, long-suffering, and those are fruits of the Spirit. But truth. So when you fight for truth, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the truth. And the Holy Spirit in the book of John tells us that the Holy Spirit is also called, and I never hear anybody preach this either, he's the Spirit of truth. Everybody calls him Holy Spirit. And yeah, he is holy. He's also the Spirit of truth. And here's where I would lovingly and respectfully disagree with you, is we don't need church bodies to teach us the truth. What we need is what the Bible says. And the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 14 and 16, I think it's 16 I really want to go to, where it says the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you all truth. So here's the baseline. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now, we do have men that are teachers. I get that. I like to think I'm one. I teach online. I make disciples with people I'm associated with. I like to think I teach the Word of God and have been gifted or called to be a teacher. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. Now, when you mentioned the body, yep, we don't need, God gave the body of Christ. And it says in, I think it's Timothy, that the church is the pillar of the truth. Now, that doesn't mean the church is the truth. That means it's a pillar. What that means is a pillar supports the truth. It's kind of like police officers. I deal with a lot of police officers at a street preacher. Everybody's calling the police on me, even when I'm perfectly legal. And I have to remind about maybe 5% of the police officers that have a bad attitude and they're rogues. Most of them are very nice. Some of them are rogues. I call them rogues. And I have to remind them, did you know something, officer? And they're getting a little bit overbearing. And I go, you're not the law. And they look at me and they go, what? And I go, you're not the law, sir. You represent the law, but you're not the law. And that kind of settles them down and they go, he's right. I just support the law. I'm not really the law. And so the church is not the truth in the sense of we get the truth from the Word and the Holy Spirit. The church supports the truth. Now, we can definitely learn. I learn from other godly men that speak into my life. But they have to be in sound doctrine. And if they're not in sound doctrine, and this is the big issue of being online, if sound doctrine is not being taught, it's a representation that it's not the true body of Christ, that people are either teaching or promoting false doctrine. I see that all over the internet, and I see it on MenoNet. People are promoting false doctrines. And as far as all of us, or some of us could have blind spots, we don't need to. Peter says there's one interpretation. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. I don't believe anyone needs to walk in. Now, hear me clear here. No one needs to walk in any doctrinal sin. We can be 100% perfect in our doctrine. Where we will never be perfect, and I'm not perfect, is where in our flesh, where we might get angry, we could look at lust, we could hate, we could covet. Our flesh is something we got to keep conforming. That's not doctrine. And so my issue is not with people having a little bit of flesh sometimes and having some issues that they need to repent of and we need to help them get through. I get it. I can get that. I'm a street preacher. I can be in the flesh when people yell at me, throw things at me, get in my wife's face. But doctrine in the so-called body of Christ that the Word of God is clear on, and we can cover some of those, there is absolutely no excuse for anyone that has been walking with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Word for more than a year or more to not have the very fundamentals of the doctrines of the faith, starting with the biblical gospel that you and I need to go over. I definitely want to go over that, and then going down. So doctrinally, we can be pure. We need to be, but we will wrestle in our flesh. And what I see is a lot of man-made denominations that are not doctrinally pure, and they also have a lot of flesh and sin that they allow. A good example, I just had to deal with a man who came to me, and this isn't Anabaptist. He was in a Baptist church. And I said, what's the problem? And this guy's crying to me, and he goes, 2 years. I wanted to draw close to God. 2 years. Nobody wants to help me. Nobody wants to talk about the things of God. They just do Bible study, and they just do their religious service. I said, well, what's going on in your life? He's been living with his girlfriend in fornication for 2 years. And his pastors and elders and everyone knew it. And he said, well, they told me I shouldn't do it. I said, did they biblically discipline you? No. Did they tell you we're going to bring you before others and put you out? No. Did they ever put you out? No. I actually got on the phone and talked to his assistant pastor and said, well, we thought he wasn't having sex with her. And I said, sir, he's living with a woman tempted to fornication, whether celibate or not. That's my problem. All these denominations I see, Robert, I don't know one. And I'll offer you what I offered that man. I don't know one that is teaching the pure doctrines of Christ as taught in the New Testament, which is not hard to follow.
I could easily say the same thing. I would have no problem. I've said that multiple times. There's no church that's perfect. There's no church that gets it all. And the challenge is that a lot of churches will take some of the scripture literally and try to apply it literally, but then skip other scriptures that they should be taken literally if they're going to take that
Amen.
Literally.
Amen.
If you don't take it all literally, if you look at it and read out of it and try to understand the principle and the purpose for what the author wrote it for,
context,
and then try to apply that, then you have a better chance, because then you're not living legalistically, you're living more in the Spirit.
Well,
you're letting the Spirit guide you.
I think there's a time to take it literal, there's a time to take it allegorical. Legalistic, that's another whole thing. It's not legalistic to obey God's word.
No, but if you take it literally, you have a challenge, because the challenge is that we don't understand completely, because it was written in a totally different language in a totally different time.
But we can look at the Greek and the Hebrew. We can go to context. But before we go on to anything else, I want to get to...
No, you can't.
Sure you can.
Because, no, you can understand the words, but in 2,000 years, somebody's going to read, Joe kicked the bucket. And the bucket, they're going to think, well, he hit a pail with his foot. There is so many...
Not if you look at the Greek. Not if you look at the Greek and the Hebrew and the context.
Even if you look at the Greek and Hebrew, because they are all, I've listened to rabbis teach about the Old Testament, and some of the things that you would read that would sound like it meant this, it really meant something totally different.
So wait, you don't think we can understand, you don't think we can understand the meaning of God's word?
I think we can get a real good idea, but you can't understand every single word and every single verse.
Can the Holy Spirit, I just quoted you John 16, the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. Do you believe that? What if I told you, ready?
Yes.
What if I told you?
Whoa. You have been talking nonstop, and you're not giving me really a chance to interject and to talk. So if you're recording this, all people are going to hear is you.
Okay, but let me ask a question.
Why are you on fire so much and coming at me and pushing so hard?
Coming at you? I'm asking you a question. I was going
to
ask you.
I called up to have a nice conversation.
We are having a nice conversation. Do you believe...
You're preaching down to me.
Do you believe John 16?
You are preaching down to me, brother.
Do you believe John 16? I'm asking you if you believe God's word. Do you believe John 16 when Jesus says... He hung up on me. The guy from MenoNet, Robert, the guy that administrates it, hung up on me. You heard him say that we can't understand all of God's word, most of it, some of it we can't. You can go back and listen to the audio. And when I was trying to get him to go back to God's word and I wanted to go over the gospel, he just hung up on me. I have a question. He was talking about how we're supposed to be kind and patient and long-suffering and loving, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5. And he hung up on me. Yet, we went over Ephesians 5, 9, where it says, goodness, righteousness, and truth. I don't think Robert, by his fruit, cares much about truth. Interesting. I think this might be helpful, and I might end up putting a post up about MenoNet to warn people about it. It's been on my heart to do that, and I think I'm going to do that. So hope you enjoyed this audio. I hope Robert is more long-suffering, patient with the Holy Spirit than he is with me, and that he goes deeper. He is a Mennonite. Mennonite is a man-made organization named after a man. I don't know what branch or what part he is, but they name themselves after a man. There are many, many, many heresies and false ways about the Mennonite faith. You can look at my website at don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog and also the Unbiblical Teachers blog. Look up Anabaptists Exposed, and I cover that. So pretty sad he hung up on me when he wanted to talk to me. I love you, Robert. I hope you come to yourself, repent, and have a little bit more patience and long-suffering, and actually go and seek the truth rather than hanging up like a fleshly man. God be praised.